We're good.
Hey, Process Preparation and Performance. I'm Duke. He's Simmons, episode 47, JR. We're closing in on 50. I don't know who the guest is going to be on 50. Maybe it'll be a previous guest. We've talked about one in the past. Maybe it'll be a previous guest, somebody from out east who could come on and enlighten us with some new things that are going on. But JR, it's springtime. I think winter. Think winter might be kind of behind us. I don't know if we're in one of those 16 different seasons that Missouri has, if this false summer or whatever it is. But JR, the biggest thing in the news lately is the eclipse. The eclipse that we just had. So funny story, JR. A Monday, I'm operating, and the nurse goes, "Hey, Dr. Duke, you gonna go check out the eclipse?" I go, "No, I'm not gonna be able to see this one, but I'll check the one tonight about 8 o'clock." And she just sat there for a second, and then she flipped me off and walked away. I said, "We have an eclipse every single day. What am I going to leave the OR to go watch this? I'm sorry, Mr. Anesthesia. Keep the gas running. I'll be back in a minute. I got to go watch it get dark." I don't know how that
worked. I'll tell you what was funny. JC, I was in the hallway, and our head janitor, he's awesome, and two of the janitors come up and said, "We're going to the roof." And I said, "I'll go with you." You know, we went up there, and I told one of them, I said, "You get abducted, man. I'm not grabbing you." I said, "You're on your own when you get up there." But it wasn't as impressive, I didn't think, up here as 2017. It got really dark up here in 17, where the streetlights actually kicked on. But we actually had a staff member who teaches astronomy. He must have been floating. He ended up down in West Plains.
Yep.
Got back for soccer practice. I don't know how he didn't get pulled over, but he was there at like 4 o'clock, but he went down and said there was a ton of people down in that area. I was talking to somebody last night. I was supervising a baseball game, and this guy drives for Moex Charter Company. He said there was an entire busload of people that took a charter bus down. So I don't know if they had tinfoil on their heads or any of this type of stuff, but no, it's cool. I guess the next one's not for 20 years. Or whatnot. So
we're tonight
tonight here in about an hour. But I hope you're right on the winter. I've had enough of winter. So it hadn't been that bad. It was just a little cold. So
I hate the cold. I hate it. But enough about us, JR. Who do we have tonight?
Courtesy of Greg Dixon, he has tagged Coach Brandon Pitts, who is the head football coach, also dabbles a little bit with track, might get into the javelin story here in a little bit for our listeners, of the Aurora Hound Dogs. And for anybody listening, it is not Hound, it's Hound, just with the N at the end. So, Brandon, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, you talked about Greg Dixon, and you know, I tried to call him on the eclipse. I think he was out there just – he's an old school guy, so I don't think he had glasses on. He's just staring directly at it, you know, begging it to try to do something to him. But I'm at Aurora, and you said it's Hound, but it's also D-A-W-G-S. It's
yes.
Not D-O-G-S. So we are one of one in the United States with that exact spelling. It's a pretty unique situation.
So Coach Duke and Coach Pitts, right here, this is the explanation for Hound Dog, Aurora, Missouri. So I looked it up today, and I started reading this. Now, Coach Duke, this is really interesting. So I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. I'll attempt to do it justice. So there was a 2nd Missouri Infantry Unit stationed in – I'll probably gonna get this wrong. Somebody from Aurora is going to boycott this podcast. So they're in Aurora. It's kind of an interesting thing. So this unit – was sent down to Mexico to chase Pancho Villa back in 1916. And there was a dog. And I guess the rumor is the dog was from Missouri. It was a spotted dog. And these guys always had the dog. And so this group of guys in the military always kept a dog with them. Even when they were sent to France at the end of World War I in 1917, they had the dog with them. So the phrase is, don't kick our dog. And it's kind of an interesting story. If anybody listening, just search Aurora, Missouri dog, and it'll come up. You'll find it on there. So, Coach Fitz, here's my first question to you. You've been a zizzer, which is unique. Now you're a hound dog, D-A-W-G. I don't think you could go 3 for 3 and be a Cupie, which is the other very interesting mascot in this state. Why Aurora?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when I went to West Plains, I'm actually from Willow Springs, which is right up the road, real small school. And back in the 90s and before that, and then a little bit in the early 2000s, there's a huge rivalry between West Plains and Willow Springs. Well, West Plains just outgrew Willow and that entire conference, and they left the conference. But so when I left, it was kind of a big deal. But I remember I used to call them the West Plains Sisters when I was in high school and junior high, you know, just trying to make fun of the Zizzers. And then when I interviewed at Aurora, and when I talked to people that were there, one thing that I loved about West Plains was how prideful they were in their town and in their mascot. And they were proud to be from that town. And it may be more so in Aurora. You know, we have the old logo. We don't have the newest stuff like everybody else. And so we're a little unassuming in that way. And I kind of like that. It's a gritty place. We have great people, great loyal people that are loyal to their kids and their community. Basically, everybody that is successful in that town is from Aurora, or in this town, sorry, is from Aurora. So I wanted to be a part of it, and I couldn't pass up the opportunity to go and be one of one again in another place.
JR is like the king of research. So if there's something out there, if there's a strange definition or picture or a video that you're hoping never gets publicized, you know it's there, but you're hoping it doesn't get out, JR will usually find it, right? So congratulations. You handled that well with the entire – he's also a history guy. So okay. If there's like some history stuff going on and he could kind of, you know, get those together, he'll be happy with it. But
I don't think Coach Dixon's ever going to forgive me for finding him dressed up as Richard Simmons at his dad's running camp.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, Coach Fitz, I'll send you the image.
I need it. This. Yeah, I need this. Absolutely.
we've all coached a sport that's meant a lot to us. Me, you, JR, anybody that you come across. Why football for you?
You know, when I was little, I mean, it's kind of a cliche sob story, but it's very true. No father figure in my life. And so I didn't play any sports. I actually played soccer, I think, in like second grade. I went to one practice and one game. I think I did karate before that. I don't know. But I really didn't play football until I was in fourth grade. And there was a guy named Wayne Johnson who his son was my age, my quarterback in high school. And Wayne was my coach. And I loved him. I loved him. He was hard on me, you know, as hard as you could be on a fourth grader, though, you know. And I'm coming from a mom who's working constantly. And so I'm really looking for guidance. And I fell in love with it. I happened to be, you know, okay at it. I think I was a lineman and a defensive lineman my first year. And then as I got older, I made all my friends through football. Some of the best men that I've ever known were my coaches. And so it kind of became my thing. I'm not you can't tell, you know, sitting here, maybe you can, but I'm not a very tall individual. You know, I'm about 5'7". So football's I kind of had to be football. If I was going to be a basketball guy, I'd have to be super fundamental and a great defender. And I could probably have been the second, not the first. So I couldn't dribble my way out of a circle probably, but football to me is the ultimate team sport. It can really be a tale of 11 guys being perfect and one guy being the guy that costs you the game. And I love the camaraderie. I love the uniqueness of it and how it really is for every single body type. You can find a spot for it. There's 22 positions, offense and defense, and that doesn't even talk about special teams and what it takes to be a great long snapper and a great holder and a great kicker. And So if you went through, there's probably more like 35 positions or something crazy. So I think it's a very unique sport. I would, you know, defend it to the day I die on being the greatest sport in America. And with that said, I love other sports too. But football is definitely something that changed my life. And so I try to use it in a very similar way that helped me grow to help others.
Coach Duke mentioned that I kind of like to find things out. I've got some like very obscure tastes at times. You know, whatever interests me for that moment, I'm either fully in it or I'm fully not. And so when trying to find some things, you know, questions for you and whatnot, I really looked at your Twitter quite a bit. And you have a ton of strength and conditioning stuff on there. You know, kids lifting weights or running or some reposts and whatnot. You just mentioned how impactful coaches were in your life. And when you are training kids from the strength and conditioning world who are age 15 to 18, I've heard it stated many times and have seen it that you just can't train a 15-year-old like an 18-year-old. So when you go into that weight room and you're working with your kids, how do you do that? How do you set that up? Maybe give a secret or two away. And then how are you making sure that you are impactful on those kids, even just in that environment?
You know, it's actually, I feel like I've been doing it forever, but it's hard. It's hard to go in and, you know, this summer we'll start our summer stuff basically 3 days after we get out of school. And I'll have everybody from guys that I've been training for the last 2 years at Aurora to incoming freshmen who were in a weights class, but their weights was a little bit different than what we currently do. And so we don't have a lot of space. And so my big thing is pair like skill together early, and then always have a modification and adaptation, a different modality that they can do. So I love Olympic lifts. A lot of people really like to get away from it, and I don't necessarily disagree with anything they say. I like it. I enjoy coaching it. I enjoy personally doing it. I like, you know, seeing kids be able to catch a bar that they didn't think they could, even if it's 135, but that's a big deal to them. And so we have different modality or different, I guess they are modalities, but we have different ways to teach clean. And that's to me the hardest one to do. We have different ways to teach kids that are brand new, maybe that have never touched a bar before. And how I would approach them versus a kid that's 2 years in and still really struggling to get any hip action into their clean, to make sure they're not pulling the bar with their arms. But what's really neat, and this is the cheat code, I think, is when you try to create a culture of every single thing that is progress is a good thing. And so that means you may not have gone up in your lift or gotten any quote unquote stronger because you didn't do more weight, but your form got better, right? You were able to catch a clean in a good front rack position. The bar didn't get away from you too far. And so it didn't put undue stress on your wrists and elbows. And the cheat code here is having kids that see that and they immediately go over and coach. And that way, when I'm working with one kid, I think of it all the time. I can name some kids right now that I've seen do that just in the last 2 weeks where they go over and you'll get like three or four of them that'll try to help. Then it becomes a, hey, I only need one of you to do that. The rest of you need to go over and get the rest of your training in. But I don't know that there's necessarily a right answer other than just separating them. But I don't like to do that either, because then they don't get to see right off the bat what they can be in the future. You know, we're not Olympic lifters. Our clean form isn't great. There's some kids that I still cringe at a little bit when we do it, and I go over and, hey, let's cut the weight. Let's get back to our, you know, we do a pause complex where we're trying to stop in each position and be strong in it. But I'll tell you that when they do it right, it feels good. And they feel confident about it. And that's the same with bench press or incline bench or front squat. We're big front squatters. We do a lot of front squat, back squat. We do a lot of split squat, a lot of unilateral movements. But if I were to talk about how to train a 15 and 18 year old, I think the mentality is similar. I think, hey, I got to go to work. I can't miss. And so that may look different for me and you, but I can't miss. I have to be here. I have to get after it. And that's going to look different. I'm not really a big grind them into the ground and let's throw up in buckets afterwards or any, I don't do that, but we're going to lift for about 45, 50 minutes, but it's going to be a very intentional 45 and 50 minutes. And so from that standpoint, I think it's similar, but you definitely have to change the lifts and what you do for kids that maybe can't even move that way. For some kids, I don't clean them at all. We do trap bar jumps, dumbbell jumps, because they are not, they don't have the proprioception to know where they are in space versus a barbell, and they're not ready for that. So long answer, I guess, but I kind of had to work through it there. Yeah.
No, it's fine. Perfectly fine. Cause it was part of my question that I was going to ask you when it comes to your football program and your off season mentality or approach, what are the non-negotiables at Aurora that you convey to your team? And maybe you mentioned some of them already. Maybe you mentioned one that it's, we're going to acknowledge an advancement, right? We're going to acknowledge that you got better. Doesn't mean we're going to give you a trophy because your clean form got better, but we're going to acknowledge it so that people will see where they're going. But what are some of the non-negotiables?
So for us, you know, this year I did something a little bit different, and it, the kids don't know it, and maybe they'll listen to this and what the heck, he tricked us. But, you know, I let them choose three standards. You know, what are standards of not just good programs, but championship programs? You know, our program has won three state championships. And so that's very rare. You know, it's rare enough to win one in a sport, let alone three. And it's been a while, but they have three state titles. So I get my seniors together and I say, hey, I want three standards. And so we had a whole morning where we talked about it, and we came up with consistency, which is the very first word that I mentioned when we got there. We will not miss. We will be here, rain, shine, you know, snow day. I'm sneaking into the school. We're getting a lift in. We don't miss. And so that's one of our standards is consistency. The next is brotherhood. So let's celebrate each other. But I think accountability is part of that too. When, JR is not showing up the way that he should, well, I've got to go. It's my responsibility as an athlete and as his brother to go and say, hey, we need you here. Not a, you know, you don't have to go be a jerk to the guy, but go and give him some tough love. Like, man, it takes what it takes. If we're going to be champions, you have to be here with us. And then the third one is physicality. And so in football, it's very easy to say physicality means hit hard, play hard. But I think it means it's just a mental switch where you say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be successful. And that means I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be consistent. And then I'm going to give maximum effort. I'm not a big loaf guy. I can't stand it. If we're going to show up, it's like right now we're doing our out of season practices. We'll have one in the morning. And what I always say is, you got up at 5:30 a.m. to be here. Let's get something out of it. Let's get better. Let's be intentional. You might as well, all right? We're already here. So I would say that our non-negotiables are consistency, definitely consistency and accountability, brotherhood and effort.
You said something I really like, which is be intentional. I think that's almost a life lesson, to be honest. I mean, with anything you do, if you're not being intentional, what are we doing? You know, yeah. We're just screwing around here and just jacking around. You know, you gotta be intentional with what you're doing. My last one for you here, your all's football field. I've seen it. If I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Kelly Field, correct?
Yep. Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, by the way.
Yeah. Got some grain silos, I think, in the background. Let me think here. Bleachers are opposite of school, I think.
Yep.
And I'm trying to remember a lot of it. Is the point I'm going with it, or I guess that I'm trying to make here, it is very unique. It's got like a very, I want to say like historic feel to it. You know, kind of like everybody's into the big and the shiny and new. The first time you took the field there as a head coach at Aurora, what were your emotions? You know, did you look around, kind of take it all in, just the atmosphere there? It's so unique and cool. If you've never seen it, you need to go to Aurora and check it out. It is really, really neat. So go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple things about that field. Number one, it's I think it's been there since 70s, maybe the 60s when they won their state title. So they're still playing in a very similar area. That school actually is our junior high now. It's the old high school. And so we actually drive about 8 minutes across the town for our home games, which can be kind of frustrating, but it is, it's a historic field. It also has a 5-lane track. If you've never seen a 5-lane track, it's exactly what you would imagine it would look like. 5 lanes, too small, but yeah, so you have silos in the back. Actually, quick story real quick. This house that I'm currently living in, we couldn't find a home. We were moving. We had to move no matter what. We had to state track. I packed up the U-Haul the next day. We moved. We drove here to Aurora, and there were some businessmen that were renting this home from the guy we bought it from, and their contract wasn't up. And so we didn't know if they were going to be gone or not. We thought we might have to evict. And so anyway, all that to say, they were great. They actually, their U-Haul was backing out as ours back then. I mean, it was like that quick. But they had this like $1 million, some type of research where they were doing vertical agriculture, and they were doing vertical growth in those silos. Yeah. So that's a very unique, I don't know much about it. I may have butchered the entire thing, but I know it was a guy from like Canada, a guy from Kansas City, and a guy from Springfield. One was a lawyer, one was a chemist. I mean, we found some wild things in our house where we were like, are there bombs in here? And then I don't know who the other guy was, maybe a doctor or something. But so yeah, you mentioned the silos. So when I'm walking out, the very first thing, unfortunately, we played Seneca, who this year played for a state championship. And if Lamar didn't exist, they would have played for one last year as well. We ended up losing that game 44-8. But, you know, I'm out there midfield. The grass is plush. I haven't been on a grass field since Willow Springs in 2018 or 2017. You know, everywhere we played at West Plains was turf. And so I'm on a grass field. It's as mounded as can be. If you've never been there, you probably can't tell, but, and like I said, I'm a short guy. I look across the field. I can barely see kneecaps. Like it is a mound. We try to run east and west a lot so our kids can go downhill. But you know, I look back and it's really unique because everything, I mean, you didn't want to say it, but everything's old. Everything is very old. The bleachers are old. We have a new visitor's press box, but everything's old. But I look back and the bleachers are full. And then you look at the track and it's full all the way everywhere. I mean, it is packed, and it was an absolute event. And we weren't good that year. I think we were 2-8. You know, we probably could have, you know, stolen a game or two. We took our lumps, but even at the end, we host a senior night game, and I think we were 1-7 at the point, and they were 0-9. And so we're playing like, you know, who cares who wins this game? It doesn't matter for district, doesn't matter for conference, but our town did, and they showed up, and we actually ended up winning on a late defensive pick six, which as a defensive guy, I'm fired up about it. Finally ran our coverage the right way. A senior who had never played before got an interception, returned it for a touchdown on his senior night. Awesome. It was an awesome atmosphere. And then this year, we actually played really well at home. Our first game, not so much, but after that played really, really well. And it's a special place, on Monday nights. We host our JV there. We host our junior high there. We host our Mighty Mites there. And so our groundskeeper, or one of our grounds guys, Ross Reed, who's been there forever, does an incredible job with it. I don't have to paint it, and so I don't complain too much. We tried to paint it my first Thursday night, painted a paw. We started using a paw logo. It was awful. Never did it again. Won't do it again. And so Ross kind of puts a red and black stripe down the center, but you know, turning around and it's kind of surreal, you know, everything happened super fast. One of those deals where I wish I could go back and just from an outside perspective, just watch again, you know, just to see and feel the energy and feel the buzz. And they were coming off, Aurora at the time was coming off a 7-3 conference championship season. And, so there was energy back for football. We want to be a football town really, really bad. And we are, I think in a lot of ways we are. I want to be an everything town, even as a football coach. I want every sport to be winners. And, you know, I want basketball to win 20 games and girls do right now. They're really good. I want our track program to be great. Our baseball program is great. A couple state championships recently, and then a nationally ranked team even. So, some greatness has come from Aurora, and it is it's a very unassuming place again, but I haven't even thought about really that night since it happened. So this is kind of a little bit of a walk down memory lane, but surreal. I was nervous, as you can expect. We go out, we actually move the ball really well. We have a penalty, and then everything falls apart after that. But it was definitely a unique night. But standing on the home sideline, seeing the sunset behind you, and then you have the silos in the background. It's a very unique place.
That's cool. That's really cool, Coach. I mean, you could tell how excited you are. I get the pleasure and the fortune of watching it. You know, JR and I, we could see the emotions that are coming through while people are talking, and that's part of the reason we do this. It's really cool. I looked ahead at your schedule. I think that's natural. All football coaches are looking ahead at what's coming. You're stepping up some teams. You have class four, I believe they're class four Nevada on there early on, week two. Yep. And then there is that team that shall not be named way down there at the bottom of the schedule towards the end, the Lamar Tigers. Is that right?
Yeah. So, I don't know how big of a, what's happened north necessarily with conferences. But in our area, there was a ton of conference movement. And so the Big Eight was 14 teams. We were on the east with Mount Vernon, Marshfield, Rogersville, Hollister, and I'm missing somebody, Reed Spring. Well, five of the seven teams from the east left. They went to other conferences. And so now it's just us and Mount Vernon. Well, what do? Well, we go back to the Big Eight because we're founding members. And so the Big Eight West, if you don't know, had four district championships last year in one conference, two class four championships, a class three district championship, and a class two district championship. Well, one of those is Lamar, who is Lamar, and they will continue to be Lamar. One of those is Seneca, Seneca is great. I mean, I look back and you look further down years and you really don't find them. And what Cody Hilburn is doing there right now is pretty special. Nevada, who's class four, and they are absolutely as physical as can be. Matt County, they won one as well. They're first in school history. I was on the good side of some games against them at West Plains, and they were loaded, and we happened to be very loaded when I was there. So, our conference is, I would say the best in the state, if not the second best behind maybe the COC, just based on state level performances. Lamar's always going to, be a Final Four team or a quarterfinal team. Seneca's kind of approaching that level right now. I would say that, they've beat Lamar a couple times the last couple years. And so, yeah, we don't play some of the teams that we played that we were able to beat and handle. But the thing that I say with it is when we were good in 2015 and went to the semifinals at Aurora, they were in that conference. When they won a state championship in 1999, they were in that conference. And so really at the state level, when they were as good as can be, they were playing state level competition all year. And so if anything, by the time we get to district play, if we're not just playing our conference like we have in the past, by the time we get to district play, we're going to be more battle tested than anybody else.
Conferences, being in Jeff City, we got the CMAC, and like you said, it's just loaded. I mean, if you show up in any sport and you're having an off night, gonna be a bad night for you, unfortunately. But Coach Duke, we're gonna have to get down to Aurora and watch a game. Like, the field, it is really cool. I think it'd be fun to come down. The problem is you're a little occupied on Fridays, so it makes it a little bit tough. We've got to start the tour.
Yeah. And Coach Pitts is probably going to be watching our game tape because we play Lamar week three. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think I knew that. So we picked up, for our week four game, we picked up Lafayette County, Higginsville.
I saw that, yeah.
we don't have a single week on our schedule where it's like, hey, I feel pretty good. You know, we're okay. We'll absolutely have to strap those boots up every week. So I'm excited about that. If you guys do come to Aurora, you need to be prepared for something. So okay. I was not aware of it. When I interviewed at the high school, it was rainy. It literally was icing. Like, they were getting out of school, and I just drove 2 hours. They were getting out of school early so that they could get out before the ice hits. And I'm like, well, I'm already here. I better might as well do the interview, and I'll drive home in ice, I guess. Well, I go back, you know, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, after I accept the job, and something hits me, and I'm like, what in the world is that? We have a dog food plant right over by the football field. And so when you go there, it's every now and then on a hot day, it smells like dog food. When it rains, it smells like dog food.
Okay. I mean,
you talk about being a hound dog. We are committed. We are committed to being a hound dog. Every now and then, they have different flavors. One of my coaches always says, that's the jalapeno blend. That's a little different. That's a little different.
That's great.
Cool, yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. JR, are you ready for the speed round?
I'm ready. Let's hit him with it.
Okay, coach. Rules of the speed round. I got a few questions. JR has a few questions. If you pass, you'll be the first guest to ever pass a question. No pressure there. Consistency. You mentioned it. Now it's coming back at you. And if you happen to answer all the questions, you can ask JR or I a question. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to ask. And if you answer them, then I guess we gotta answer them. then at the end, there's no traveling trophy. I'm sorry, but you will get the opportunity to pick who has to come on this show next and deal with both JR and myself. Well, you'll have to tag somebody. Whenever you're ready for the speed round, do you need to stretch? Do you need to warm up? Are you good?
Let me think. Let me sit. Let me calm the mind a little bit. Get ready. I got to clear the way.
Get that dog food smell. Yep. Get it going, right. Baby.
Oh, yeah. Back. We're ready to go. I got it in.
Question number one. Weirdest play call on your call sheet?
Weirdest play call on the call? Nuts. It's called Nuts. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's a special teams play. It's called Nuts.
I could go into something here, but I'm not going to do it. It deals with World War II, but okay, I'm just going to say it. So this is like, I'm like interrupting the speed round. When you said it, okay, there was this guy, and he was surrounded in Bastogne by the Germans. And I think it was General McCullough, and the German commander sent him a note wanting surrender, and he sent back a one-word reply, and that reply was Nuts. And when I was teaching history, I'm like, you could just see the German man. What is these Nuts? Like, I don't understand, you know, and all this stuff. Anyway, all right. Question two. Dogs or cats?
Dogs, 100%.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Who said this phrase? We talking about practice, man.
AI, Allen Iverson.
You gonna make it, Coach Duke?
Where do you come up with some of these questions?
I like mind it. The recesses of JR's mind.
I love it. Let's go.
Best pizza in Aurora.
Oh, best pizza in Aurora. Your pizza place. That's what it's called. Your pizza place. Yeah.
Jordan or LeBron?
You guys are going to not like this. I'm a LeBron guy.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Dude. I know. I love the reaction. I'll be honest. That's why I do. I'm kind of out of it now, but I love the reaction.
Funniest thing to ever happen in the press box.
Ooh, funniest thing to ever happen. I've never been in the press box. I've got an assistant coach who's up there all the time. And I want to say at one point he was talking, giving instruction, giving everything. He was muted the entire first half. We thought our headset was messed up. He just never turned it on.
A couple of people I'd have liked to have done that to, Coach Duke. Okay, this has become kind of a standard last one. We've got some interesting answers to this. So you have to pull off a museum heist, and you can only take three people with you. Who are you taking, and why are you taking them?
Well, you know, the guy that sent me, Greg Dixon, I'm taking Greg. He's going to be my brute force. He's also fairly tactical and logical about things. I'm going to take, I know this is a C-Mac rival right here, but I'm going to take Matt Perkins at Rockbridge. One of my best friends. He has the confidence that everybody wishes they could have. And so he's a guy that could walk in and just take the money and leave, and they'll think he was supposed to. Probably the last guy I would take. Does it have to be a coach? Can it be anybody?
Anybody you want. Anybody.
Anybody I want.
It could be Bill at break time. I mean, whoever you want to take.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to pick a celebrity. Okay. And I'm taking, you know, I talked about brute force. I'm taking Stone Cold Steve Austin because he's going to shatter the windows, and that's our distraction. He's going to break the glass. That's the distraction. You know, I'll let Greg kind of scheme up how we do things, how Matt's going to walk in and do it. I'm the getaway driver. My hands are clean. Okay. I'm out of this. But he's going to draw it up for Matt. Matt's going to go in. He's going to take the money. Everybody's looking at Stone Cold. You know, he just hit the stunner on an old lady. And next thing you know, I'm out of there with the cash, but I left them. They don't know it, but I'm taking the money and running by myself. So
that's perfect. That is perfect.
Okay. You've earned that.
Yeah.
Question. Whatever you'd like to ask, go ahead.
Ooh, I get to ask. Okay. So you guys asked me cat or dog. I'm going to ask the same because I think that's an important question. I think that says a lot about you.
JR?
So I have right now two boxers under the age of 16 months, and one, it is like watching a crackhead smoking meth out of a Pepsi can every day. I've never seen a dog have that much energy in my entire life. And the other one, he's a good boy, but we had a cat. Me and that thing sort of coexisted. But yeah, I'm going dogs every time. Every time.
Yeah. Okay. Without question or hesitation, it'll be dogs. I could tell you what one of my previous jobs was, but I'll keep that. Here's how much it's dogs, JR.
Yeah.
When my kids were little growing up, if they were whining in the middle of the night, I would leave their asses lay in that crib. But if the dog was whining, I got up to check on it.
I did. That explains a lot, actually. That explains a lot. The first thing, when everybody's dog people here, oh my gosh, if anybody that I work with listens to this, they'll die laughing. One of my workers made me a sign, and it says no dogs allowed on it because of the amount of people that try to bring animals in that claim they're service animals. It just becomes a topic of hilarity with especially with state track. The best one ever is over the radio. JR, do you know there's a pit bull in here? Yep. Service dog.
Hey, quick question about you said state track. Did they really increase the shot put sector for Cantwell? I heard they increased the sector at Jeff City. Am I wrong on that?
Not that I'm aware of. I've checked. Actually, I'll ask tomorrow. We've got our big track meet coming up this weekend, so I don't recall anything happening, but that doesn't mean it didn't. So I will definitely check on it. Definitely.
Yep.
Well, the oldest game in the book is tag, Coach. You've been it for a few minutes now. Somebody who you would like to see have to go through this same process of being annoyed by either me or JR on a random Wednesday or Thursday night with a text message like, hey, Coach Pitts should be on our podcast. What are you doing? Who are we tagging?
Does it have to be a current coach, or could it be a former coach?
Anybody you want.
Hey, so
it doesn't have to be a coach.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't think about
anybody
that.
Anybody you want.
Well, I'm going to stay in the coaching realm, and I'm going to go with a retired Hall of Famer in Missouri named Kurt Thompson. Kurt, he does adrenaline fundraising stuff now, but he's very known in the area. And like I said, he's a state title winner. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he can find the time to do it, but I think he would really enjoy it. I think you guys would really enjoy talking to him. And He's got an awesome perspective.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. Coach, we have enjoyed having you. It's been great. JR, we got out of Kickapoo. We're in Aurora. We've learned stuff.
We've been touring Southern Missouri. It's been fun. It really has.
Hey, I can send you up to the middle of the state. I mean, I know some guys up there. We're good.
We joke about how we've kind of been all over the place, and it's been kind of cool. We've been doing this across Southern Missouri, so it's been fantastic. It's great.
It's been great, yeah. And I'm gonna see if DoorDash has your pizza. See if they.
Let's go. I don't know if we have a DoorDash here because it's we don't have very many doing that here right now. But hey, if they do, it's good. It's worth it. It's a long DoorDash, but it's worth it.
JR, good job, man. Good job with your research. I learned something about history and some German guy not liking his response today. It's been pretty awesome. Coach Simmons, you got anything else?
I'm good. Coach Fitz, thanks for joining us. And when you're up for state track this year, I'm the fool that is tasked with being out front, checking everybody into the main gate with ticketing. So please come up, introduce yourself, and we'll get a picture. I'll throw it out on the Breakdown Sports Twitter. And I'm probably going to end up with about four dudes up there going, where's JR? Where's JR? And usually by the end of it, I'm ready to change my name to something else because I just get kind of tired of hearing my name for 4 days. But definitely come up, and thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I appreciate you guys having me. Thanks.
For process, preparation, and performance, I'm Duke. He's Simmons. God bless you all. Have a great day.